you don't have it, we'll give the other teams for a second. All the teams a second to come in here. I want to make sure they're ready. Hallelujah. Children got some anxiety. Separation from mama, maybe, I don't know. Praise God. But they love their parents. We understand. We're going to take good care of them. Amen. Please don't want to make sure that door is locked as well. Thank you. It's locked. I appreciate you. Thank you. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. And it says this. This is the Message Bible. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever before. That kind of sex can never become one. If you don't mind, give somebody advice, say, don't give it away. Don't give it away. Yeah, don't give it away. If I had to make it another title or subtitle, I would say this is called The Value of Virginity. Yeah, The Value of Virginity. It's not a secret that everyone in this room is not a virgin. Yeah. Some of you have children in children's church today. Some of you have grandchildren in church today. So obviously you're not a virgin. But the point of Nobody's Fool with this relationship series is understanding that our relationships affect us when we get married and have other relationships and the intimate ones. That my relationship with my mother and my father and sometimes friends and brothers and sisters all have a part to play in the person who I am and choosing the person who I want to be with. We must understand the importance of that. So I've been covering a lot and I've been dealing with the singles at first, and I like the teachers I grow and build upon series, the teachers I grow. And I understand you might not be a virgin, but every week say, Lord, let Pastor speak to me. Let them have something that resonates with me. I might not be a virgin, but have something that resonates with me that I can take it home with me and I can grow for it. Amen. So we are seeing in our culture, in our country, that we are turning further and further away from God. There's no secret. We can turn on the news. We can look at social media. It's no secret. We're turning further and further away from God. And I believe one of the things at the forefront is the promotion of sex. Yeah. You don't even have to be famous no more. A woman can show her body on a social media app, and now she's famous. Yeah. Woman who's claimed to fame, the only thing they've done is made a sex tape, and now they're famous and have money and all this crazy stuff. It doesn't take a lot. Our whole view of the world has changed so much because people that promote sex are pushed to the forefront. And my question is, if God is the creator of sex and it's his gift to mankind, he created it and it was his gift to mankind in marriage, why do we think we can do whatever we want to do with it? Yeah, this is God's gift. He did it. He invented it. If a person invented something, I'm going to use it how they said invented, right? I mean, we use TVs, right? And we watch TVs. I don't see people just throwing TVs in a swimming pool and say, I'm going to watch TV in the swimming pool today. Because it doesn't make sense. That wasn't his purpose. It wasn't intended that way. So if God intended sex between man and woman to be for one man and one woman to become one flesh, why do we think we can do whatever we want to do with it? So when we talk about somebody being a virgin, it's like, oh my God, you got polio. You what? Virgin? Nobody's still a virgin, it seems like, these days. Nobody. If someone makes it to 18, you're like, wow, you still a virgin and you 18? Oh my God, let somebody be in their early 20s, we think they're an angel. You got to be hearing from God. How are you still a virgin? And if we all would keep it real for one second, because we have young people in this room, how many people are married to or still with the person they lost their virginity to? Amen. Silence is golden. Well, see, when we are used to a worldly system, we say things like, go ahead and use condoms and be careful. Yeah. We say things like, I'm going to give you birth control. You just better be careful. Don't bring me home no babies and take this birth control. We give our kids a license to do it and use no protection. But I came to encourage somebody today that birth control is not the answer, but the blood of Christ. Amen. Yeah. I have to understand that the blood of Jesus has power, wonder-working power, mind-regulating power. It changes my whole stratosphere how powerful the blood of Jesus is. But you got to believe that. I'm not a motivational speaker, because you can't do none of this without the Holy Spirit. You can't do nothing. You can't keep yourself without the power of God. You got to understand that Jesus died for me. He rose from the grave, and that his blood gives me resurrecting power. So let me help you in some practical teaching about the value of virginity, let's define the word virginity. It is the state of a person who has never engaged in sexual intercourse. There are cultural and religious traditions that place special value and significance on this state, predominantly towards unmarried females, associated with the notions of personal purity, honor, and worth. So the word virgin is deep because virgin means something that's unpolluted. So even in our terms, we can say a lake or a pond has never been touched by human hands. It's a virgin lake or a virgin pond because it hasn't been polluted. The word virgin means worth. The word virgin is so awesome. I love God because there are married people who have slept with tens and tens of people. And because they haven't creeped out on their husband or wife, now they can say they're in a virgin marriage. Yeah. Say, thank God, that's something for me, Pastor. Far from a virgin, but that's something I can hold on to. That I can have a virgin marriage by never creeping out and staying with the person I'm with. And I learned this from my pastor, Dr. R.A. Vernon. He dropped this book, and I love this book in my spirit. It's called The Value of Virginity. It's a teaching by Jack Hayford. It says this: one thing about the value of virginity is that it honors the wisdom of the Creator, the Creator's design and order. Young people, listen. It honors God when we keep our virginity. No matter how smart we think we are, we're not smarter than God. Yeah, you're not smarter than God. He designed it for one man and one woman for life. So when we get together, the purpose is when we finally come together and we marry, we get to unversion each other. Yeah. We get to do it together. We get to unversion each other. Because the thing is, when we get together, neither one of us supposed to know what we're doing. So we get to unversion each other. To show the value of virginity, God has placed a do not open seal into marriage. Did y'all know that? The value of virginity, God has placed a do not open seal into marriage. It's on the woman's vagina. It's called a hymen. Be grown with me. Come with me. A hymen. How many of y'all know that? The hymen is the do not open seal. So some of us, if you ever had a bottle of wine, I'm gonna fall. Y'all save. My bad. Some Pepsi. You had some Pepsi or a pop. It's an easy treat for me. It's an easy treat. And it's cold. It's cold. You take it out, and you crack it open. And what's it do? Because that seal is broken. And you take a couple sips, you don't want it no more, you put it back in the fridge, and no matter how tight you tighten that top, no matter how hard you twist it, if you untwist it again, it never makes that sound again, because the seal was broken. So, the hymen, check this out, the hymen is the place the skin covering the vaginal opening of the women and females. And about God is so awesome. Remember, God is so much smarter than us. In the third or fourth month of pregnancy, the hymen begins to form. That's how awesome is the God we serve. In the third, the baby's in the womb. That's why doctors can tell what you have it. Yeah. You can have gender reveals. Because the third and fourth month, the hymen begins to form inside the womb. And it remains intact until it is broken by sexual intercourse. So the thing is, while you're on your wedding night and y'all come together for the first time, And y'all have sex, the blood is supposed to be broken. So now you have a blood covenant keeping you together. This is why the two shall become one flesh. God is so awesome. This is why we can take our daughters to the doctor and we can tell if you're still a virgin. Because God has put a do not open seal to marriage inside you. So let me give you a little history in Jewish customs. Before you got married anywhere with the daughter, the man would come to the father. He would come to the father and he would say, I need to talk to you about your daughter. And I can park right there, because how many people are coming to talk to the father before they talk to your daughter? Ooh, y'all can park right there. Before they went any further, they coming to talk to the father about the daughter. I love this. How do kids just come home and say, I got a boyfriend? How you got a boyfriend? Who? I need name, address, I need social security number. How you just come home and got a boyfriend? Think about that. Before a boy think he about to parade any of my daughters around, I gotta meet you. I gotta talk to you. I gotta know who you are. Destiny, my daughter's in here. Guess what? Her boyfriend's Spalding. Praise God. Y'all know that's a basketball, man. So we got time for that. Boys ain't going nowhere. It's education. She's smart. I love it. 4.0. Appreciation. Education. You like who play basketball. That's your boyfriend. We ain't got time to waste time, because I've learned this in my own personal life. I wasted so much time in high school worried about the opposite sex. Instead of focusing on my grades, instead of focusing on what I needed to be and who God said I could be, I was worried about the opposite sex. And it's tripped out. And I just feel a move in the Holy Spirit because this ain't even on my notes. Y'all got to understand this. When we get involved in relationships, especially when we're young, y'all get your hearts into it. And once your heart gets involved, sometimes when your heart gets too involved, your head don't work. So my heart gets so involved into it. And then we want to throw the sex thing into it. Now we come in together. So guess what? Now you 14, 15, 16, you taking on his character because what? The two should become one flesh. So now you carrying his problems. So I know girls that were good students, had straight A's, doing what they supposed to do, but they got hooked up with the wrong cat. And now because he got troubles at home, because he's stressing, I'm stressing. I'm worried about him more than I'm worried about my schoolwork. And don't let him be using me and dogging me and break up with me. Now my head all messed up. I can't focus in school now. Now my grades have dropped. Parents don't know who I am. I'm looking crazy. Don't know what's wrong because I'm worried about the wrong thing. Amen. So we got to be careful, young people. So Pastor, check it out. My dad's not around. I get the whole father thing. My dad's not around. I know my dad. Maybe my dad's dead. Why you ain't bring him to me? Praise God. Silence is going. Yeah. What about me? Somebody that cares for you, trust them, because you got to believe this. I don't got time to be in nobody's business, do we, baby? I'm grown. Got 3 kids. Got a church. Got a job. I'm running around doing all kind of stuff. I'm busy. I ain't got time to be in your business, but I care about you. I love you genuinely. I really care. So I got time to be in your business, but I want to make sure somebody loves you and is treating you right. Check this out. I love this. When a woman that I'm connected to comes and brings a boy to me that likes her, for one, that honors me, and I love it because I get to see him, I get to smell him. Yeah. What you here for? And I want to get to the point where some of my guys will come up here and she bring him to church. We can all stand right here and look at him real mean. I'm just playing, laugh a little. but the point is, I want her to bring him around so we can see him. Why? Because I need him to know that somebody cares about you. I need him to know somebody covering you. Yeah. I need him to know this ain't no lay and play thing. That she got a family around her that cares about her well-being. And you're not about to just come in and out her life and dog her and do her anyway. Yeah. It's some accountability around here, partner.
That's good, man. Lay and play.
So you got to be careful. So in those times, check this out, the Jewish times, that they understood the value of virginity. So the man was, when he came to the father, he came with money. He had to come with money because he understood the value of virginity. It's called a dowry. Learn some history. It's called a dowry. When the man would come to the father and say, hey, I want to marry your daughter. And the father would say, okay, well, how much money you got? And if he said, I ain't got no money, daddy said, no money, no honey. Yeah, that's what daddy said. Maybe you don't get that. My mama told me a long time ago that there's no romance without finance. Maybe that'll help you out. That if you're going to come and be with my daughter, where your money at? How much you got? Because she valuable. She worth something. What do you have? So men, check it out. Before you go looking for trying to get married, get your job together. Get your credit together. Most important, get your relationship with Jesus together. Get everything together. Then come back with her. Sometimes you're too broke to get married. It ain't even time yet. Get myself together. Get my stuff together. Then I'll look into marriage.
Yeah, that's real.
We must understand that women ain't going nowhere. Praise God. They've been here since Genesis. Last week I told y'all that y'all Bentleys and Rolls Royces. Yeah, you got to know your worth. You got to know your worth. So if a man came to my daughter and he's requesting to marry her for her virginity, he must know her worth. Y'all remember Jacob in the Bible? When he came to Laban, he didn't have no money. He ain't had nothing. So Laban said, okay, he said, but I want to marry your daughter. He said, okay, well, what you going to do? I served you for 7 years. He worked 7 years because he felt Rachel was worth something. Then Laban tricked him and gave him the older daughter, Leah. But he still wanted Rachel. He said, I serve you another 7 years because he knew she was worth something. I wish y'all would know y'all worth in this place. Because he knew she was worth something, he was willing to wait for the prize. And she's so cold, I don't know how Rachel looked, but she had to be cold-blooded because he said the 14 years was but a few days. My God, she had to be fine to say something like that because 14 years is a long time. But he said it was a few days to him because he wanted her.
Yeah.
So you got to know that you're valuable.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So in biblical times, when it was time for them to get married, guess what? The other family would want proof of the marriage. They want proof of the virginity. So when it became honeymoon night, they would send you in a room and they would give you a cloth or a sheet to lay down on the bed. Why? Because you were paying for her virginity. So she has what? The do not open seal, the hymen. The do not open seal. So when they would lay down on honeymoon night, it would get blood on the cloth. And the family would be outside the door waiting on them. Praise God. I ain't about to give you all my money and I don't know what's going on. We're about to sit out here and wait. You're not about to go to Hawaii and go on vacation on my dollar. We're about to wait and see what's going on here. They would be waiting for him. And they would come out. He would show them the cloth. And everything was good. There was blood. And if it wasn't no blood on the cloth, by the law, he could stone her to death for lying. Say, Pastor, I would have been stoned to death. Hit me rocks, pebbles, shoes, everything. It would have killed me, Pastor. It would have knocked me out. I'm sorry. It's gone. It's gone. But we must understand that it was valuable. So valuable. In the Bible, it shows us that virgins hold a special place in God's heart.
Yeah.
If we look in the book of Revelations real quick, Revelation, I have it on the screen. Revelations chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. We see the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The 12 tribes of Israel have 12,000 members in each one. And the Bible talks about them. Look at what it says in verse 4 right here. And it says this. It says this. They are the ones who were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were the redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So we see these evangelists, 144,000, who love God so much, they remain pure from this perverse world. Yeah, they love God so much, they resisted the temptation to have sex from women. They were celibate. Paul said it's a gift. God gives us the gift of celibacy. Some people have the gift of celibacy. Your pastor didn't get that gift, praise God. I said, I don't know if I was in the bathroom in heaven when God passed that one out, but I missed that one. I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one. I missed that one. But it's a gift of celibacy. Some people have the gift of it. It means they don't even want to get married. They ain't thinking about it. They don't care about getting married. They don't care. Some of them have that. And these 144,000 have kept themselves pure. They never had any sex with a woman. But check this out. I love this because it says that this, what? They kept themselves defiled from women. They were also not just women as in women, but also from this perverse world. Because the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about another woman. Yeah, it does. It's two women it talks about. One woman is the bride, the church of Christ. But there's another woman that represents the world and the world systems. Yeah, Revelation 17 and 5, check this out. A riddled name was branded on her forehead. Great Babylon, mother of whores and abominations of the earth. So the Bible refers to the woman who is representing the world systems as a whole. Yeah, we keep it real in the Christian church. We keep it real. She's a whore. She's a whore. That's what the Bible refers to the world system and set up. He calls it a whore, a hoe. That's why the devil's trying to get bros hooked on pornography so hard. He wants you to see this thing. He wants you to look at it. Why? Because if I see it, if it gets past my eyes, it gets to my heart, it gets to my mind, it gets to my soul. If I see it, your eyes are your gates to your soul. Like if somebody's coming to rob my house, if they don't get past my door, they can't come in my house. I got to guard my door because if they get past my door, I'm walking them into my house. When your eyes are your door, you got to guard your eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I won't lust after a young woman. I got to make a promise with my eyes. So your eyes are a gateway from your soul. And some of you sometimes have seen so much. All you need to watch is rated G movies. Praise God. Yeah. Rated G, not even PG. Some of y'all don't need to see Lion King. Nope. Y'all ain't need to see that. They might be going, can you feel the love tonight? And now let Simba get going. You start thinking about Natasha. You can't even fool with that stuff. You just seen so much. You can't even fool with it. Can I feel the love tonight? Got you thinking about something you did 10 years ago. Now you can't do that. You got to know and look and know what's going on. See, the world system knows what? That men are turned on by sight. That's why a couple years ago, Hardee's had these hamburger commercials with women in bikinis eating hamburger. What does the bikini got to do with a hamburger? I ain't never seen a bikini hamburger. I've never seen that. But we so stupid as men, dang, if I eat that burger, sure, I might get that girl. If I eat that shoe, I might see them in the bikini. I might get that. Or they have a commercial with a Corona and a nice woman walking past. You're like, dang, if I drink that beer, I might get that woman. If I get the Coke 45, I might go get that woman. And we so stupid, we go grab the Coke 45 and we never get the woman. You're going to get drunk. You're going to be out your mind. You might get cirrhosis of the liver. You might get an ulcer, but you're not getting that woman. It's called advertisement. And that's what the world does. We must understand that it's all a scheme. And because women are not as turned on by sight as much as men, they exploit women way more than men.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. That was real good.
Yeah. Super Bowl. Notice how many women have naked on Super Bowl commercials. Why? Because all the men in front of the TV. Yeah. It's time to pull them in. We must understand the world system is messed up. It exploits us. And we just be real, most teenagers have seen more than enough sex scenes by the time they're 15 years old. We busy with our careers and our jobs and our status and what we want to do and how we want to live our life. We're not even monitoring what they're watching on TV. I had to sit down with my kids and like go through Netflix like, this is the ratings. Or don't touch. This means you can't watch it because they kids, they see a cool little 10 second clip. That look like it's funny, it look like it's nice. No, it's not for kids, restricted.
That's it.
Means you shouldn't watch it. This means TVAMA, mature. You're not mature, you're a kid. It's PG-13, you know what I mean? Depending on what it is, you gotta look at it and see what it is. We don't even watch our kids and see what they're doing. Gotta guard their eyes. The world system, what about the music? The female rappers, oh my God. The men are bad too, don't get it twisted, but the female, they promote sexuality out of control. If you got that in your headphones, you pumping it in your spirit, pumping it, and listening to it day in and day out. You got to guard your ear gaze too. I listen to some of these albums. I got to know what y'all listening to, praise God. I'm here, Pastor Checks. Yes, I need to know what you're listening to, yes. I used to love hip hop. If it's before 06, before I got saved, I know all that. But after 06, I don't know. So I got to go check and do some research. And I decided one day to throw on the City Girls album, praise God. Wow. Wow, yeah, some of y'all might not have heard, but the young, they know what I'm talking about. And I began thinking because Lil' Kim was a city girl of my day. See, it started with Lil' Kim, and then it jumped up to Trina, and she was a city girl of my day. And they were promoting all this, and I thought about all that, all this type of rap was going out. Then Lauryn Hill came out, a young queen. A young person say, I should love and fear God. Y'all should love people. Y'all should love. Don't do what hate, do what love. You should keep yourself. That thing, you know what I'm talking about? You should keep it. Don't give it up to them.
Yeah.
And what they do, they made her seem like she was crazy.
Yeah.
They forced her out the music industry.
Yeah.
But the girls tell you to drop it like it's hot and pop it, get to stay. The world system. I mean, it was a time rap was kind of respectable, amen? Yeah, I mean, it was a time, when I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I think I need love. It was a time, you know, where I think I need love. Now it's booty, the big old booty. Booty, the big old booty.
That's real.
I gotta see that booty. What happened? Y'all laughing, but y'all know I'm right. In your heart, you know I'm right.
Yeah.
This world system is getting promoted to us and these kids, and we just booty. We just love it. So we dancing and we twerking to it because it just got a good beat, and we love it. And that song has most one of the most disrespectful lines I've ever heard in my life. Black youngster says this, show them your mama made a hoe. And y'all dancing to it. Show them your mama. And we dancing to that, and we twerking to that, and we think it's cool. And guess who's watching? Our kids. Yeah. I see mama doing it, so I want to do it. I see how mama's acting, so I want to act like that. You must understand the power you have as a parent. Yeah. I see mama dressed like that, so I want to dress like that. I want to look like that. Sometimes our children are built a certain way, and they 13 or 14, they look grown. I had to deal with my own daughter like that for a long time. No lie, we went to King's Island. I know they got to guess your age, and you win a prize. We used to win every time, didn't we? Look at it like every time. 11, 16. What? So father's worst nightmare. You 11, and they guessing you 16? Which means they think you're older than you are, which means your body has developed quick. So I had to talk to her sometime, but hey, men are turned on by sight. Yeah. You got to watch how you drink. You're 11. You ain't thinking about that, but somebody older than you is. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to be careful how you carry yourself and how you dress and guard yourself. Because men are turned on by sight. So we got daughters, and we tell them, hey, girl, you built nice. I like your shape. So what does she do? She go find the tightest jeans she can put on. Because you told her she built nice. She got a nice shape. Yeah. Instead of saying, baby, come here. Let me talk to you. Men are turned on by sight. And you always got to dress yourself in a proper way. Because you're going to turn to the wrong man. You're going to attract the wrong type of man. Yeah. You don't want to attract that type of man that's turned on by sight. Because he ain't even looking at you in your heart. He thinking about what he can get out of you and what he can do to you. So we got to be careful as parents. Jesus. Listen. We got to understand as parents. And every woman, I love y'all dearly, especially the woman in new creation. That's why I want you to understand. You don't have to dress tight or such a way or revealing to get a man. Because God love you. And he got to come after your heart first. Yeah. What's in your mind? Because his bras, check it out, believe it or not, they prey on those things. Yeah. Look how she dressed. She probably got daddy issues. Look how she dressed. She dressed down with whatever. So I'm going to go after that. You got to be careful. Because the devil stay on the prowl.
Yes, he does.
And I love this. Why are you talking about this, Pastor? This is a lot. Why are you talking about this virginity and its value? Because my sister-in-law is a teacher, and I remember this as I'm preparing this message. It's a couple years ago in Indianapolis. I ain't going to name the school. But a couple freshmen were having sex in the hallway of the school. And somebody recorded it and put it on Snapchat. Yeah, yeah. So it was circulating everywhere. Mm-hmm. A couple of freshmen. You hear what I said? That means you're 14 or 15. Yeah. In the school, in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Having sex. And people didn't have enough decency to say, what are y'all doing? Y'all nasty. Get up. And recording it and putting it on the internet. Jesus. Imagine the embarrassment of that parent. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine it. Because you got to understand, young people, what you do just don't affect you.
Yeah, it's good.
They want to think about who raised you.
Yeah, that's it.
What kind of parent do you have at home? What are they teaching you? What values do you have? So I know this teaching is needed because of the way this world system is set up.
Yeah.
And I can't throw your pastor. I'm not holier than now. No. Your pastor lost in Virginia way too early. I did not proud of it. Way too early. It doesn't matter if it's your girlfriend and still sin to God. Not your husband or your wife. It doesn't matter if you think you love this person. If you're not married, it's sin. I lost my virginity way too early. If I go back and change it, trust me, I would. Yeah. It dishonors God. But now I'm in a position where I know better.
Yeah.
So if I don't help the kids, what good am I?
Good.
If I don't know better, amen.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Check this out. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sins, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love for becoming one with another. Yeah. Jack Hafer, in his book, The Value of Virginity, says this, that purity as that the virginity is purity as a precious treasure to be preserved and protected. Yeah, these bottles were made for God living and God modeled love. So we got to be careful. Apostle Paul was telling us that these type of sins, sexual sins, are different than all other ones. Why? Because everything else we do outside of our body. You know, I do things that have some effect, but they don't stick. If I don't get high, I got to come down.
Yeah.
If I got to get drunk, I got to get sober. If I get into a fight, I'm not fighting them. But certain sins have affect us. But it's something about sexual sins are different because they get into my soul. Yeah, these bodies were made for God-given and God-modeled love. Anyone who still has their virginity, pastor didn't come to play with you. People jealous of you. They wish they were you. Yeah. There isn't a woman in here that says, I'm happy I lost my virginity to a guy and I don't even know where he at no more. Yeah. There isn't a man in here that's happy to say, you know what? A bunch of women can tell my wife how I am in bed. Nobody's happy about that when it's all said and done. Nobody. I know this is hard to hear in church. I get that, but I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help some young people, amen. So if offense rises up, it's only to help the young people. They gotta know that the problem is we don't keep it real with them. We just tell them don't have sex. It's bad. Why is it bad? What are the effects? What are the consequences? How does it hurt me? We don't want to tell them nothing else. If you a teen or a preteen or wherever you at, trust me, look at your pastor. I'm 36 and I love you. I promise I do. They jealous of you. They want what you got. Ain't no amount of money that can pay for that. I don't care how big the house is, how much money they got, how fine he is, how fine she is. They want to be you because your seal hasn't been opened. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3 says this. Oh, that you will bear with me a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste, a virgin to Christ. But I fear lest some, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul had to write 2 Corinthians. Why? Because they didn't listen in 1 Corinthians. Yeah. He had to write 2 Corinthians because they didn't listen to nothing he said the first time. So he had to come back and say, look here. My Bible readers know that the Corinthian church was a place that was kind of perverse. It was a church that had all kinds of sexual issues. It got so bad that one man was sleeping with his stepfather, with his father's wife, his stepmother. Paul said, you got to put him out of church. Yeah. We can't play with that. You got to put him out, because if you let this stuff go on, it's going to destroy your whole ministry. You can't play with that, because as a pastor, I have to guard and protect this place, because what? Nobody wants to be at the nasty church. Nobody want to be there where everybody in leadership and they sleeping with people and cheating on people and doing all that. So I got to protect the glory in this place. So I got to be tactful when they say embarrassed. I'm going to love you and get you where you need to be. But nobody wants to be there. We are searching for God and his freedom in Jesus. But we have to understand that we must present ourselves as virgins. See, Paul said the craftiness by the serpent, again, the world system. And if you're going to keep your virginity, you got to have a why. See, anytime you're going to be intentional in anything, you got to have a why. And the why is, why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? And if I'm going to be intentional for keeping my virginity, the first reason above all, not because I'm going to get pregnant, which is true, not because I'm going to get STDs, not because I'm going to have all these issues. No, the first thing has to be because I love Jesus. Yeah. Because I'm keeping myself clean, number one, because I love Jesus. Yeah. Check this out. Read this when we get later. Genesis chapter 25. I ain't got time to exegete and go through it. You can go on the podcast. I did a series called Family Matters, and I went through that. But Genesis chapter 25 is the story of Esau and Jacob. The story of Esau and Jacob, the two brothers. So you got Esau and Jacob. Isaac's kids. So Isaac finally has a son. He has two sons. They're twins, but they don't look nothing alike. Esau's red and hairy, and Jacob got smooth skin and all that. And they even different in how they behave and how they act. So he has two sons, Jacob and Esau. So when they have the boys, Esau, when they're coming out the womb, Esau's coming out first. Jacob grabbed Esau's heel and tried to pull him back in to his mother's womb. So before they're born, he's grabbing his heel and trying to put him back in. Sometimes people be some haters since birth. Praise God. Y'all missed it. Amen. Sometimes everybody just hated on you for no reason. Like, what is your problem? Why are you hating on me? I don't even know you like that. So but his own brother is grabbing and trying to pull him back in. So Esau comes out first. So if I come out first in Jewish times, the person first gets the blessing. That's how it's designed. The oldest gets the blessing. Kind of like when you're dealing with kings and queens. The oldest in line becomes the king. My Lion King people, Scar was in line, but Mufasa had Simba. He's the only son, so now Simba's about to be king. Praise God. So y'all can follow me. So the oldest gets the blessing. So now as they're growing up, you got Jacob and Esau. They're two different brothers. Esau is a roughneck. Jacob, pretty boy. Yeah. Esau, roughneck. Esau like to hang with his daddy. He like to wrestle. He like to fight. He like to go play ball, play football, get dirty and all those things. And he likes to hunt. So he said his daddy loved his game. His daddy loved him because he can hunt and kill animals. Jacob, mama's boy. Yeah, he want to hang around mama all day. He want to go, yes, mother, what do you need? come in and help. He helping with dinner, he cooking and all that stuff. You know what I mean? That's Jacob, that's how he roll. He helping out mama, the two different brothers. Nothing wrong with him. He's helping my mama's boy, Esau. Esau like to play with the field. So Esau now, they living their life, they growing up a little older, and it's tripped out because the daddy loved Esau more, but the mama loved Jacob more. Look at somebody say favoritism. Yeah, don't favorite family mess will mess you up, praise God, amen. Favoritism and all that, so we gotta be careful that we don't get caught up in favoritism, especially with our kids. We're going through this, and Jacob and Esau, they're going through their thing, and then now all of a sudden Esau comes up on Jacob one day, and Jacob is cooking this off the hook stew. This stew is the bomb. Stew gotta be the best stew ever made. You ever walked in the house and smelled somebody cooking some food and you just knew you about to tear it up? I'm about to go hammer on it. It smell too good in here. So Esau been hunting all day. He walks up, sees Jacob, say, bro, what you doing? Cooking this stew. So he cooking this stew. And he says, let me get some of that stew, bro. I'm hungry. I've been out here all day. Let me get some of that stew. So how bad do you want it? I want it. Sell me your birthright. His birthright was being the oldest. His birthright was having the blessing. And his brother said, sell me your birthright. So Esau says, you know what? What do I care about a birthright? Because I'm about to die. Give me the stew. Because he couldn't see his future, he was ready to satisfy his flesh. What do I care about? I'm about to die. Give me the stew. I don't care about a birthright. Give me the stew. So he takes the stew. And eats the stew. But what trips me out, he says that I'm about to die. Now, in my sanctified mind, I'm thinking he had to eat breakfast that morning. You about to die? You about to die. There's no way you about to die. You are not that hungry that you're about to die. But because his flesh is rising up, he's willing to get up. He traded in. It's like getting a brand new Harley Davidson, all tricked out, all the money. He gave it up for a scooter to satisfy his flesh. It trips me out because that's how we feel. God, I've been celibate for so long. I've been doing it for so long, God, and I feel like I'm about to die. I just can't hold it. I'm about to die. I got to get in the bed. I'm about to die. You was not going to die. God's got you. You is not going to die. For the ones that are virgins, they begin to trick you with people in your class. Everybody's doing it, so I need to do it. Everybody's out here. Wow. Everybody's going. Everybody's moving. Everybody's doing what they need to do. And they trick you, and guess what? You're not going to die. You got to fight to stay pure. And I'm going to show you how much this teaching is needed. Your kids will argue about not being a virgin. Yeah. They argue about it. I ain't no virgin. I kiss mine. No, he ain't never had none. No, he don't know what he doing. I kiss mine. And you got the girls. Shoot, girl, I kiss mine too, girl. What you think about that? Sure, I got 4 or 5 of them lined up. They all want me. But because sometimes we're seeking attention from the wrong people in the wrong places, we get caught up. So God is telling you to hold yourself, to keep yourself. But Pastor, I want to keep myself. But Pastor, I'm trying to keep myself. Pastor, I want to do it. I want to do it. Pastor, I just can't hold it no more, Pastor. I just can't. I can't hold it no more, Pastor. I can't. I had to. And because I had to give it away, that is how God sees me. I was white. I was pure. I kept myself. I was pure because I gave into it. And what my friends said and what people said, I had it. Now I'm feeling My soul is feeling black. And I'm hurt. And I'm struggling. I gave it away. And I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor, I might not be a virgin, Pastor. I understand I might not be a virgin, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, I didn't get pregnant. I ain't got no STDs. I don't have none of that. We don't have no kids. We use protection, Pastor. It wasn't that bad. That's what we do. It wasn't that bad. I had protection, Pastor. I had female contraceptives. I didn't get an abortion. I took care of myself. I use my condoms. I make sure that I don't go further, Pastor. I make sure. So it ain't that bad. I know it ain't that bad because I just use this stuff. I know it ain't that bad. Because we listen to people. Now I got condoms. I got big condoms, little condoms. I got women condoms. I got birth control. I got all these things to help me out, and which I think in my sex life. And I'm picking them up and I'm using them. And I got condom after condom. And I'm doing all this. And what they didn't tell you was that no matter the protection I use, no matter what I think I'm doing to be safe, because ain't no safe sex, but after this in marriage, no matter what I think I'm doing to be safe, I got condoms. They didn't tell me that. It wasn't a condom to fit that hole in my heart. They didn't tell me a pill wouldn't help that hole that's in my heart. They didn't tell me that by giving myself away, I got a hole in my heart that I gave myself to, that I loved him so much and wanted to be with him, and he kicked me to the curb. That I thought she was the one, this is the girl I wanted to be with. And the next brother that came along with a little bit more money, a little bit more fame, a little more status, she left me. So now my heart is broken because I fell for it. My heart is broken. But thank God, I just can't leave you there because I want to be a good pastor. I didn't come to beat you down. I come to pick you up, praise God.
Amen.
Y'all better give God some praise. I didn't come here to beat you up. I came here to pick you up. And I love this. Because even though I make mistake after mistake, I know God will come and save me. Even though I've made plenty of mistakes, I know God still loves me. The Bible says this, though your sins be red as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. There is so much power in the blood of Jesus. Every mistake in my past, my present, my future can be covered. The blood has so much power that every wrong decision I ever made, it covers. Every time the devil lied and tricked me, I fell for it, it covers. Yeah. Oh, why are you changing clothes, Pastor? Why are you changing clothes? To give you a visual of how things look. Because we got to understand this, how God sees us once we sin. I'm dirty. I had the white tee on it. It was fresh. Now it's dirty. But what does God feel about that? Zechariah chapter 3, please read this when you go home. But Zechariah chapter 3, you don't have to turn to it. But Zechariah chapter 3 says something amazing. Joshua is the high priest. And he's standing before God, and the devil comes. And Satan comes to do what he does the best. He comes to accuse us. He says, you know what? Joshua got these filthy garments on, God. Why are you fooling with Joshua? I know what he did yesterday. I know what he did 2 days ago. I know what he did last week, last month. I know every sin he ever committed. Why is you fooling with Joshua, God? He's no good. He's dirty. He's dirty. He's unclean. And we are just like Joshua. I know what you did last night. I know what you did last week. I know who you are. I know what you did, Pastor George. I know who you are. The enemy comes to remind us of our past and everything that we've done and hold us to it. But look what God told Zechariah. I need somebody to have church with me. Then he answered to him and spoke to those who stood before him, take away these filthy garments from him. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all, I need y'all to have church with me. Take away these filthy garments from him. And he said to him, see, I have removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. And he said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they may put a clean turban on his head and put clean clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. What I want you to understand, that no matter how bad I messed up, how times I failed, how many times God should have gave up on me, how much I should have just messed up, He came to put clean clothes on me. So I might look like this, but God got a fresh white tee waiting on me. He got an all white outfit waiting on me. And I ain't letting a person distract me. I ain't letting the devil distract me. I don't care who you thought I was or what you got to say. God has made me new. So we got to know that. It don't matter what the enemy tries to tell you, because the enemy plays with our minds. He goes back reminding you who you were. And what you've been doing and what you did doing. And I had to learn this real quick. Because I remember one time me and Destiny had got into it real bad. When she was younger, y'all. Great kid. I love my daughter. But we had got into it real bad when she was younger. And Jennifer helped me with this. And she said something. Daddy, how long are you going to hold that over me? Daddy, I'm changing. Daddy, I ain't that proud. How long are you going to hold that over me? And I got to think about all the stuff God forgave me for. And I got to think about all the stuff God has forgiven me for, stuff that don't nobody know but me. And God has forgiven me from. Who am I not to extend that same grace to my child?
Amen.
So though we might be, your sins might be red as scarlet, God kind of make you whiter than snow.
Yes.
I want everybody, if you're still a virgin, can you come to the front, please? All my virgins in the house, please come to the front. Hallelujah. Thank you. I can give a praise for purity in this place. I can give a praise for purity in this place. Hey, yes, Lord, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Look here. God loves you so much, and I want y'all to understand that. God loves you so much. Us that are me included, and all those out there know. If we could do it again, we would change things in our life. If we could do it again, we would change some things in our life. But you got a chance to remain pure. I'm asking you to do this with me because I feel led by the Spirit, but I want y'all to take, it's called the Virgin Pledge with me. I made this up. Virgin Pledge. And what I want, one of the people going to help me, Lindsay going to help me get a certificate made up. And I want to put these words on there. We're going to say it. Y'all going to pray after me. We're going to say it. And I want to get these words on here because I want y'all to sign this, and I want to keep it for you. You know why? I'm going to get a folder, and I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to do this every so often with children to do the Virgin Pledge, because one day y'all going to get married. And if I have the privilege to marry y'all or even attend y'all wedding, I'm going to pull that thing out, praise God.
Amen.
And I want to say this. Look at what you signed. Look at your pledge. And you kept it. I looked at the stat. I've never married a virgin before, but I'm going to do it one day, praise God. I believe God, I'm going to do it. And then one day, I believe I'm going to marry two virgins, praise God.
Amen.
That the man and the, both of them going to stand up there and be a virgin. I just believe God that he's going to handle that. But I want you to understand, though, I looked it up. The world said it's a 3% chance that a two virgins going to get married. I said 3%? That's all I need. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit, praise God. That's all I need is 3%. I know what God can do with 3, amen. So I want y'all to look at this, take this seriously. I want y'all to repeat after me. We're going to do this Virgin Pledge, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to have y'all sign it, and I'm going to sign it, and we're going to date that thing. And when y'all like to get married, I want to be able to pull that thing out of my file and say, look what you have done with God's help. All right. I want y'all to repeat after me. I will not let anyone that isn't my spouse
touch me
sexually in any way. I want to honor God
with my body
and save my virginity for the person
I choose to marry.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God for our young people. Amen. Thank you. And it just don't start with us. Maybe you've been through a lot. I don't know. And Lady Thomas is going to minister to you for a little bit. Because we've all fallen. The Bible says everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I thank God that we serve a forgiving God, a loving God, that's willing to put us back together when we're broken in pieces. So some of us need God to make us over. God, I need you to make me over. God, I've been stuck. This thing has held me back in life. This whole relationship thing and the sex thing and maybe just life in general is dealing with other issues, but it's messed me up, and I need God to make me over. So if you need God to make you over, I'm gonna ask you to come forward today. Come to the front. If you need God to make you over, because we all need heart surgery. And I love God that He can touch our hearts in places we didn't even know. There's a special part in your heart that God keeps for Him. No man can feel it. No amount of money can feel it. No woman can feel it. No job can feel it. It's a special place in our heart that God keeps only for him. So if you need to be saved, or you say, hey, Pastor, I need some special prayer. I need God to make me over, whatever the case may be, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front. If you know you need Jesus and you need something from God, allow God to make you over. The Bible says he is the potter and we are the clay, which means he uses his hands to mold us and shape us. He's the potter, which means that he wants a design just for you. He wants you to become something. He has something in your future made. He wants to mold you and he wants to shape you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe God's praise. He wants to mold you and he wants to shape you. The Bible says, I am the potter and you are the clay. And check this out. The potter puts things in shape. So as I begin to look at that one day, I said, wow, the potter is the one who puts things in shape. So if I'm not in the potter's hands, then I'm actually in bad shape. Y'all understand? Y'all miss them. If I'm not in the potter, I ain't talking about your physical. I ain't talking about how much you weigh, how you look in them jeans. No. If I am not in the potter's hands, I am actually in bad shape. My heart ain't where it needs to be. My mind ain't where it needs to be. I need Jesus. God wants to make you over. He will make you new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. God wants to make you new. A new creation. So if you know you need something from Jesus, whatever you're dealing with, my thing is every week, never go back home. You should never go back home feeling the same way you came. You should never go back home in the same mind frame. You should never go back home just straight depressed and distraught. That's what we're here for. That's what God has called us to do. So if you know you need something from Jesus, it's not a pressure thing. I say that time, I can't scare you into heaven. I can't scare you into getting prayer. I can't scare you into anything. And if I gotta scare you, it's an abusive relationship. And God ain't to abuse. God's in love. So if you know you need something from Jesus, your heart, you got a hole in your heart. You're struggling with something. You want to be saved, whatever the case may be. You need God to make you over. Let today be your day. Let today be your day. God wants to make you over. God wants to make you over, Jesus. God wants to make you over, make you over. I'm almost done, but has anybody ever seen the show Extreme Makeover? This is a show that used to come on. And they would go to some of the ugliest homes. I mean, they got mold everywhere, wood rotten, foundation jacked up, and the homes would be so messed up that it would be hard to live in sometimes. And I loved it about it because the people that owned the home didn't have the money to fix up the home. Yeah. They couldn't really pay the price to get the home fixed. They couldn't do that. So because they couldn't pay the price, they would submit them to this show, and somebody would come and say, guess what? We're going to make up your whole home over, but we're going to pay the costs. So they would come and add rooms and add special effects, add backyards, add basketball, whatever, add all these stuff to the homes, as messed up as they were, and they wouldn't have to pay it down. But guess what? The Bible says you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. So you some kind of building to God. You a spiritual stone. And sometimes you need an extreme makeover. Sometimes you so messed up, but you got to realize that you can't fix it yourself. That I don't have enough money to fix this. I ain't got enough time to fix this. I don't got enough patience to fix this. I don't have enough sense to fix this. I need somebody to come in that can pay it all for me. And I know a Savior that came in and shed his blood for me, you, and everybody included, and paid the ultimate price so we can have an extreme makeover. So it's my last call. If you know you need prayer, you need Jesus, whatever you need, make your way to this front. Make your way to this front. And allow God to make you over again. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I ask you to close your eyes. And y'all can stretch your hands. I'm going to pray. These two, amen. Look out. close your eyes and stretch your hands.
I'm ready for change.
Yes, I'm ready for change, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Ooh,
I love that. Jesus, I'm ready for change, Lord Jesus. Ah, shit, I'm ready for change. Woo. Dear Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace, asking you for strength and mercy in the time of need, Father God. I come to you, O God, on behalf of these two that came to the front, Father God, for you know their hearts and what is going on inside of them. I thank you for their boldness, O God, because it takes courage sometimes to realize, God, I need some help that I can't help myself with. And for me to go up, I got to go down first, God. Before I'm able to get somewhere, I got to humble myself before you, Father God. So I thank you for them allowing you to move in their hearts and their minds today, Father God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will cover them with your blood, Father God. Lift up to your brother Ronnie and Starkeisha, Father God. You know what they stand in the need of, oh God. I ask right now that you begin to open them up, Father God. Open up their heart, oh God. Any part of their heart, oh God, that is not like you, Father God. Whatever they stand in the need of, Father God. Sorry, forgiveness, oh God. Whatever they stand in the need of, oh God. Touch their hearts, oh God. Understand, oh God. Help me to forgive, oh God, because you forgave me, oh God. Help me to forgive because you don't hold my sins over my head, oh God. Help me, oh God, to love, oh God, like you love, Father God. I pray, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you touch them, oh God, that you begin to order their steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man, a good woman, a good person are ordered by the Lord, oh God. So I declare, oh God, you begin to order their steps, oh God. You begin to open up doors, oh God, that only you can open and no man can close, oh God. I rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. He has no power over these two or anybody here for that matter, Father God. He has no power in the name of Jesus, oh God. We stand on you and your word, oh God, that you give us strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Your word declares that our strength is made perfect in your weakness, in our weakness, oh God. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness, Father God. So I thank you, oh God, for the times that we are weak. I thank you, oh God, for the times we feel like we can't go on. I thank you, oh God, when we feel weak, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we can call on your strength, oh God. So I pray for them right now, Father God. You will bless their week, oh God. Bless them, their children, oh God. Strengthen their mind, oh God. I just pray, Father God, that you can send blessings their way, oh God. You begin to speak to them all throughout the week, oh God. Step by step, oh God. And walk with them and show them how much you love for them, how much you care for them, and how real you are in their lives, oh God.
Jesus.
I ask that you bless them right now. And all the young people that's up here as well, bless them too, oh Lord. As we pray for purity today, keep them, oh God. Keep their mind, keep their bodies, oh God. Keep their hearts, keep their spirits, oh God. Keep them, oh God, only as you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. You got some praise in this place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.